From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect. Your input on today's topic is important to us. Join in the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE. ABQ Connect.
Thank you for joining us today on ABQ Connect. Jim Williams with you. I'm with Charles Chavis and Pastor Scott Thom. Pastor Scott is the senior pastor of Cross Christian Fellowship in Albuquerque. Charles Chavis is a retired Albuquerque police officer, and he's also part of the security team at Calvary Church, and he's also involved as a student in the Cross Christian Fellowship Shepherd School. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Pastor Scott is training up pastors and not just training them, not just finding out about who's spiritually gifted to do what, but you're also teaching men how to be holy and how to be secure in the Lord and all kinds of amazing things.
Yeah, this is something that God put on my heart years and years ago when we were teaching at another Bible college, and many of the men wouldn't take a leadership role, right? Step up. And when I began to interview him, I found out that it was mostly either lack of confidence or it was a lack of spiritual maturity, right? A lack of holiness. Mm. And that's the number one thing in Scripture, is that the qualification for a leader is these holiness markers, right? That you're not, you're committed to one woman, right? Husband of one wife, that you're not a brawler, that you're not a drinker, you're not given over to money. Well, that's not for leaders. That's for Christians. Mm-hmm. It's just that the people who excel in those areas are allowed to lead, right? Because Christian, just because you're not a leader doesn't mean you can't have two wives, mm-hmm. right? And then I'm not a leader, so then I can be greedy after money, right? No, that's for everybody. It's just that leaders are supposed to excel in these areas. And that's oftentimes left out of Bible college.
I have to say I'm instantly convicted, and I actually feel bad about this even today. Maybe I need to go back to counseling, but I'm still disappointed that I had a divorce, not remarried 13 years. So I think there's people listening that might feel, Pastor, that they may or may not ever be included in leadership. Now, I'm not saying everybody's qualified to be a pastor, everybody's qualified to be an elder, right, et cetera. But I think people need to understand the forgiveness we're extended and the renewal we have in Christ.
There is forgiveness, and God hates divorce, right? But God is divorced. In the Old Testament, he did give a certificate of divorcement to Israel and then another to Judah because of their unfaithfulness. And so because the hardness of man's heart, he has allowed that. It somebody who abuses that then is in continuous adultery, right? So don't take the passage that they have in Matthew out of context. That was to answer the question of what is uncleanliness, right? And we know that abandonment, other things are allowed for a person to be freed from that. And I firmly believe that God will use people even if they've messed up terribly in their life, like Jacob and David and other people. He can use them tremendously in and outside of ministry as long as they've cleaned up these areas and are progressing in holiness.
I love
God it. Can do a tremendous thing there.
I want to let our listeners know, if you're interested in learning more about Pastor Scott Thom, he is the senior pastor at Cross Christian Fellowship. They're located at 6721 Edith Boulevard Northeast, Suite B. So that is a little bit north of Osuna off of Edith on the west side of the street. As you turn right, begin looking to the left, and you'll actually see the sign for Cross Christian Fellowship. Charles Chavis is a retired Albuquerque police officer. He has been protecting Albuquerque for a pretty long time, and now he does the same thing for Calvary Church. He's part of the Fellowship Shepherd School. And of course, Pastor Scott, you've done so much in radio. You really had a Bible program talking about how to answer Bible questions and different things you did with us from year to year. We have you on the air frequently to talk about discipleship and training and all of that. Charles, you've told me off the air that you've always felt like you had a ministry calling, but you were really concentrating most of your career on taking care of us as a law enforcement officer.
That's true, Jim. I was saved as a really young man, although there was many backslidden times where I had some falls, and I just struggled with the flesh. I think my dad used to go do some ministries where he'd speak and give testimonies at the rescue mission. And I remember being a really young boy saved by a traveling preacher that came to our small Bible church. And I used to tell my dad when go to the rescue mission, I'd watch him give stuff. I said, "Dad, I don't have an exciting, fun testimony like yours." And unfortunately, after many years, and it wasn't the fault of the police department or anybody's, I just, even though saved as a young boy, had a long stretch of backslidden and struggles with the flesh, as we still all do. But God got my attention. There was times I always said if I was going to further my education other than the police academy, which I'm not saying it's bad to do bachelor's degrees in science or politics or whatever your calling is, I always felt my further education was to be in, whether it's biblical theology, apologetics, something biblical related. But this part of the struggles with the flesh, I put that off for so long. And had other jobs, but I could have still done more, even with other jobs. And finally, the Lord's gotten my attention in the last couple of years. Here at Cross Christian Shepherd School, I had known from, whether it's here at Calvary, even other places, some previous graduates that I really trusted these guys. These
were true men of God. Pastor Gabriel with Calvary Church is also a former student.
Yes, Pastor Gabriel, a senior pastor in Calvary Chapel, Bosque Farms, Adam Barella. Him and I worked in the police department a few different years. By the end, he was in over some other areas that I didn't work close to. So there was guys that I really trusted. So I can't say that I heard Pastor Scott here on the radio when he came to do his recruiting. I've heard his show before, but I had heard from these other guys, and I said I had to go check that out. When I went to the open house Cross Christian had, it sounded like the type of school that would really be something that would apply right to me. It was just what I was looking for, and I am told sometimes, as you're listening to me today, I don't know if it's really true. I've been told I have a voice for radio. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if that means I'm too ugly for TV, but one of my sons always told me when I retired, he said, "Dad, you need to do something with speaking." He said, "That is your God-given gift," and as we've been in Shepherd School lately, this past semester has been public speaking, developing outlines, and I've actually loved that. Some people think that's a tedious or anything. I actually love putting the Roman numerals and the ABCs together. So not just the speaking part, even the development of sermons is something that has really been enjoyable to me. So I hope that confirms some of the calling, but it's a thing the Lord really has put in my conscience over the years that I needed to ignore other recreational things, or this is where I should put my focus.
Hey, and I don't want to pick on Charles, but Pastor Scott, you've had a lot of people be involved in your Shepherd School, and not all people are called to be the preacher. Some are called to be administrators. Some of them, like me, are setting up chairs and doing different things like that. Mm-hmm. And those are all as important. You know, the body functions, each one of us plays our part. Right? What's gotten you? You wrote a book called Discipleship on Fire. Tell us about why discipleship is such a big part of your ministry.
Discipleship is the fastest way to mature a Christian to the image of Christ. It's just plain and simple, right? So when we're discipling people, we are moving them from what has been effaced and erased by the world. And we are bringing them back more and more into the image of Christ. And in doing so, they're going to be emotionally healthy, happier, right? They're going to be in deeper relationship with God, because you can't have a deep relationship with somebody who is flawed in their character, right? So if you have a liar, if you have somebody who's unfaithful, somebody who is abusive, you can't have a deep relationship with them. So as they go into the image of Christ, it isn't, people think, I just have to be holy to please God. That's the wrong viewpoint. When you're holy, when you develop character, you're more intimate with God. You can have a deeper relationship with God, and that's what's pleasing to Him.
But Pastor Scott, you're not talking about following the law. I'm in the middle of I have a group of men that meet on Monday mornings, and we're going through the book of Acts. So we were in Acts 22, and there's a constant discussion between, you know, why the Jews reject Christ and they actually make accusations toward Paul is he's saying that the teachings of Moses and the law are irrelevant. And that's not actually what he said. He's saying that Jesus is the fulfillment of the law, but you have to be motivated by loving people and doing what God wants rather than necessary. You actually fulfill all the rules if you act in a holy manner.
Yeah, Hebrews goes into it, right? The law is becoming obsolete because it was imperfect, not because it was bad, because it couldn't accomplish what the New Testament is doing, the new covenant, right? The Old Testament says the Old Testament's going to become obsolete, Jeremiah 31:31. And so the new covenant does what the law couldn't. So the law could convict you of sin. The new covenant can transform you from sin. It's the second Exodus. The first Exodus is we're coming out from Egypt, but it's supposed to be a symbol of your coming out from slavery to sin. And Moses was the first deliverer, right, to bring them out. And then they cross the Red Sea, and at that point they're saying, "You are my God," and God says, "You are my people." And they took hyssop and they sprinkled them with blood and they follow these commandments, right? But they couldn't. They didn't even make it a quarter mile before they are already making a golden image, right? Mm. But they had to go build a tabernacle. The New Testament makes us the tabernacle, where the law is pointing in symbolism and typology and shadow to Christ. The New Testament makes us the temple, and Christ dwells in us. And so it flourishes from inside out rather than an outside-in type of pressure. And so you always have to have the flourishment from inside out. The DNA, the growth always comes inside out, right? Not outside in. And so, yes, we need to know the law. We need to know the feast and what their purposes are, these kind of things. But they're not transformative in the relational part of what God wants to do with holiness and character.
One of the things that you both have alluded to so far in our first segment is talking about being holy. And when we come back, I'm going to ask a question about, I understand Charles, as part of the Shepherd School, he could come forward and confess sin to people that he's with. He could do that here with us. Mm-hmm. I wonder about a pastor. How can a pastor do that? Who does a pastor confess to? And how does that work? So I want people to really understand that there's a lot more to this leadership thing. Mm-hmm. It's not just being the head of a club, right? I mean, there's a lot. You've got a calling. There's sacrifice. There's things that you're doing that you're called to do. And it's probably not even laborious. It's just what God's called you to do. And He energizes you. He equips you. And I kind of want to understand that for our listeners today. So we'll be back right after these messages. Senior pastor of Cross Christian Fellowship, Scott Tom, with us. And Charles Chavis, he is a part of the Cross Christian Fellowship Shepherd School. We'll be back right after these messages. Don't forget, you can still provide Christmas gifts through our Christmas Critter campaign, GFA World. Just go to klyt.fm and click on the banner, and there's all kinds of things you can do, everything from giving a pair of goats to chickens to a water buffalo. And these are for people, indigenous people that are in South Asia, largely India, and a lot of different countries now. There's 16 different countries that GFA World is taking care of, and these are all sustainable gifts, very affordable. And we just think it's an amazing thing. By the way, thank you to everybody who's given. We have gotten more response, I think, we've ever had. And I'm just so amazed at the generosity of people listening. We're with Pastor Scott Tom. He's the senior pastor of Cross Christian Fellowship in Albuquerque, and Charles Chavis. Charles actually works with me on the staff at Calvary Church. He's part of the security team and a former law enforcement officer, and he's part of the Cross Christian Fellowship Shepherd School. Pastor Scott, you have a lot more things that people can learn and utilize as tools to be a disciple of Jesus. And would you say it's to accelerate learning about our faith?
Accelerate transformation.
Mm, yeah.
You know, we've got plenty of learning going on.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's great.
So you should have the mindset of information for life transformation.
Do you think our culture kind of teaches we go to church once a week and that's all we need. That's kind of from the enemy, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. We should be having this fellowship with one another, and we've lost the community aspect of learning and mentoring and being around other Christians and older Christians and people who are going to teach the older women, teaching the younger women. That's not at church, right? That's probably at the kitchen table or other places.
Yeah.
We're losing that, right? So it's drifted away to what we think is a professional, and we pay them. And scripture actually says that pastors, leaders, teachers, prophets are there to actually equip the saints. And the saints do the work of the ministry, right?
I love that. So the pastors don't have to work 24 hours a day and everything?
That's why we burn out pastors, right? Mm-hmm. It's the vending machine model. You'll keep going to the same pastor over and over, and pretty soon that vending machine becomes empty.
Mm.
Yeah. And so his job is to produce other, you know, vendors.
Tell me about the other tools that you have. Obviously, the Shepherd School is open. That's kind of just a once a year thing that people enroll, right?
Once every 2 years.
Oh, 2 years. Okay.
Yeah. So we'll probably be recruiting in 6 months.
Okay.
Now we've got just the first year through. Charles came in and he was, I'd like him to share just a minute on that, because we touched on, you know, pastors and what do pastors do when they reach this kind of moral crisis or these kind of things, who can they go to or whatever. And I think to head it off, we need teaching and character on that, right? But I think one of the things that Charles was concerned about and what brought him into this type of school is our emphasis on that. Did you want to share?
Exactly, Scott. As I'm studied on my own sometimes, lots of Bible teachers on social media, and it seems in the past couple of years, I'm not sure, maybe that'd be a question for Scott, seems a big explosion of big name pastors having these falls in the flesh or sin. And when I did notice Cross Christian Shepherd School, they were really focused, especially that first semester, but it hasn't gone away, on your character. So my question maybe to Scott would be, as we know in Psalm 119:11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee. If I am studied in the word that well, as these big name ministers probably are, why these big falls? Because I'm thinking now, hey, if I'm going to be studied up and doing these outlines every week and just in his word, am I going to be safe to where my fall chance is very minimal? But that doesn't seem to be what I'm seeing on social media. Has this always been that way? Because I know we all sin, and there is chance of anybody's flesh is going to struggle, but is it the social media bringing it to light more, or has there always been pastors having issues?
I do think pastors always had issues. We're all sinners. So every pastor is a sinner, and every pastor is a target by the enemy. But it isn't just knowing the word. The key there is having it in your heart, which is not in your mind. It's transformative in the heart. The heart is the being of the person, the mind, soul, the will, right? Not just the mind. And so Satan knows God's word, but he fell and he continues to fall and rebel, right? He knows the word better than a lot of pastors. And it really comes down to the ability to have the word in your heart to the place where it starts to become the character isn't. Why it's so transformative is character has to be where it slowly becomes your second nature. You don't have to think about it. Once you start crossing that line, you've developed character, right? If you have to question it or fight it or have this debate with yourself, the good angel and the bad angel on your shoulder, you know, type of thing, then that's the place where you haven't developed that character. And so that's why we teach the character gap, right?
Right. That seems to be a very big emphasis. And that's what really impressed me. I'm not saying because I already had a perfect nature. Like I said, I struggled before. But that really impressed me, because I think that is what we've heard. What many seminaries do lack is they will just teach the doctrine, teach all the. And we had that actually in a recent, what we call audio files, a recent lecture. There was a Calvary Chapel pastor that explained, you can know all the doctrines in your mind, but without the supernatural Holy Spirit indwelling in you, all that just knowing the content and knowledge is going to kind of be a waste. if you don't have that supernatural Holy Spirit dwelling in you.
So I want to address both of you with this mm-hmm. question as I'm listening to you speak. There are people right now that maybe people in law enforcement who are thinking, well, I've had a ministry calling too. That's why they're listening, because they heard Charles say, whole time I've been a police officer, I've had this ministry calling, I didn't really pursue it. He's taking care of his family, he's taking care of responsibilities. He's a Christian, but he's not pursuing that calling that God's put on his heart. Now, when he retired, he's been pursuing that and putting himself in the situation. But you're not saying that you became, you're a great Christian now, so now's the time in your life that you decided to do it.
Correct. It had nothing to do with my behavior. It's just the Spirit getting my attention and me having that closer relationship with Jesus. Because kind of like we said, when you put the word in your heart, it's a love relationship where we're loving the Lord. When he says, if you love me, you will follow my commandments. And that's something that many Christians get confused with.
Can you do that while you're a police officer?
You can do it any time and most any job. I think there's some jobs that are going to compromise your morals and your values, you know, whether you're going to be a stripper or something. But yes, police officer, I think, is a behavior enough job that you really could follow a calling.
By the way, I know some strippers who have come to faith in Christ. Yes. So, I mean, God wants everybody's heart. But Pastor Scott, I know this about pastors. The harvest is plenty. Mm-hmm. The workers are few. You guys could work 28 hours a day, forget 24, and that has to take a toll. So how do you maintain character and family relationships, especially in a marriage? How do you take that time and still you're trying to serve the body of Christ?
You multiply yourself. So you have talents and gifts, you multiply. Charles is one of those guys, right? Now he's doing ministry that I would have been required to do, right? Mm-hmm. And so we're a fairly small church, but before the pandemic, we were planting a church every 11 months and raising up pastors and leaders. And you said you've got a pastor right on staff here. Most of the major churches in Albuquerque have a pastor on staff or a worker, a ministry leader that has been through our shepherd school. And so it's exploding for us across the world. We're training up pastors and leaders. We have about 100 that we're training in Kenya. We're in Zambia and Uganda. We have three in there, Qatar, and we've in Sri Lanka. And so all these places are opening up. And so my hope is by this time next year, we can have, God will bless so that we can get most of the shepherd school into Swahili because they will go crazy planting churches there and developing, right? So they'll walk at night in the jungle because they'll be on Zoom with us, and we'll be at 7 p.m. our time, which will be 3 in the morning for them, and they'll walk in the dark for an hour, hour and a half, and it's still dangerous. They'll get attacked by monkeys or the gorillas with two-footed gorillas with guns, right? Or Muslims or those kind of things. And then they'll sit around and they'll have 3 iPhones and 30 guys will split up and they'll watch. And they did that for 2 full semesters till I said, look, you guys, if you need to meet on Friday mornings, do that. And instead of the 30 Friday mornings, it went to 100 leaders. So they have 100 leaders and they watch it on YouTube because they can use a closed caption. They can read in Swahili and then they see what I'm teaching. But I have 300, almost 400 audio files that need to go into Swahili. So I'm praying that God would grant us the means and the funds to do that. I know AI can do it, but still, even at $1 a minute,
That's a lot.
You're talking about 17,000 minutes.
It's all Greek to me.
Yeah. Hey, let's talk a little bit about the resources for around New Mexico. We're in many, many cities around New Mexico. Talk to us about the other resources you have available now for them that would help them in this process of being discipled.
Yeah. Excuse me. So it's been on my heart. Okay. Well, here's Shepherd School. It's super cheap. It's $99 a month. But like, could we do like a Shepherd School Light? We've just seen tremendous fruit from Shepherd School. And I thought, well, let's do. And so we started a whole new ministry. It's called Navigating Life from the Cross. And I call it Shepherd School Light. So I take some of the questions from our people at church and things that I've learned from Shepherd School, and we put it into 10 to 15 minute videos. And then from that, we also have resources like ebooks that go into that.
And how is that available to the public?
Now, they, you know, on all the social media, but I would recommend probably YouTube would be the easiest.
Okay.
Go to YouTube and search Navigating Life from the Cross. Okay. And it's not our church channel. It's obviously from our church, but it's so searchable. And we went from, we just started this in July. And so I thought, well, if we get to December and we get maybe a few thousand views or that, we've already crossed 70,000 views on 20 some videos. It's just because it's searchable. They're real quick. There are questions that people ask, like, how do I deal with my anxiety? How do I overcome this fear? Which are character questions. They don't realize that. Yeah. But those are character questions, right? I also deal with things like aliens. What does the Bible say about aliens?
Oh, yeah.
Then I had another one this week about...
So you have a strong ministry in Roswell.
I have a strong ministry in Roswell. And some of the No Other Doctrine stuff's coming out, right? Because I always got questions about generational curses and that sort of thing, right? They're reading out of Exodus 20 and they think that there's a curse upon their family because grandmama did some kind of sin and... So they've got alcoholism running their family because of that.
When you have as many cultures as New Mexico has, those kind of questions will come up because a lot of those are cultural questions.
Yeah. So they'll cripple Christians, and they'll think then they're angry at God because he's put this on me and I can't crawl out of this financial hole because God's got me into this curse because my father did this or my grandfather did that. And so I answer those kind of questions. It's real easy for me, right? It's a lot of the No Other Doctrine type of questions.
And I want to say emphatically qualify, Scott, you will free people from the fear of those things.
Yeah.
I love that. Charles Chavis, he is part of the Cross Christian Fellowship Shepherd School. He's in studio with us. I brought Charles in because he's part of the Shepherd School, and he's also works in working with our safety team at Calvary Church. So I see him every day and get these updates. He's about halfway through the two-year program, and so we're going to talk about that in more detail. Pastor Scott Thom is a senior pastor of Cross Christian Fellowship in Albuquerque. They're located at 6721 Edith Boulevard Northeast, Suite B, just a little bit north of Osuna on Edith. Also, Pastor Scott just mentioned Navigating Life from the Cross. Go to the YouTube search button and go to Navigating Life from the Cross. That's just a resource that Pastor Scott is now putting out on YouTube. When we come back, we're going to talk about a free ebook called The Habit Revolution that you can also have access to. And we've got a lot more to talk about. Both gentlemen will be with us till 2 o'clock. We'll be back on ABQ Connect. I want to welcome everybody to ABQ Connect and wish you a Merry Christmas. I know this is a stressful time for a lot of people, but it's also a time of joy. I hope you can focus on what Christ did for us on the cross and just celebrate his birth and his life and just the redeeming power that he offers us, and try to shift your focus away from things that you may be feeling pressure to buy a certain number of presents or whatever. Let the Lord take care of those things and just worship him and think about him. And I know that the churches around town, and Pastor Scott will echo this, if you let people know about your need, the people of God will help. And that's where it's kind of got to start, doesn't it, Pastor Scott?
Yeah, I think the church is coming together more and more frequently to help people. I mean, we see it going on in Calvary right now and their outreach they're doing. We had an outreach this past weekend as well for children who've been separated from their parents during this holiday season. So our church is doing as well. It's a marker of those who love God, right? The real religion is those who help the widow and the homeless and those people who are in need. So I'm blessed by seeing our churches do great work. So oftentimes churches are beat up and put down, especially on social media, and kind of broad brushed with all these. But there are so many churches large, small churches doing such great work with people in need, the homeless, and reaching out and providing food, clothing, sometimes fixing vehicles. You just hear these stories and I'm blown away.
It's amazing stuff.
Got to be pleasing to the Lord.
Tell us what the habit revolution is.
The habit revolution, not the hobbit, but the habit revolution, right? And it's an ebook that we put together from some of the videos from Navigating Life from the Cross, right? And it's birthed out of the same thing that the Shepherd School does, thinking it's Shepherd School Light, right? And of life transformation. And first, that we talk about, you need a mentor, you need a coach, right? You just, even professional players are getting a coach, right? We're told to disciple one another in Scripture. We're told to be underneath someone. And so that's how Christ raised up people. He mentored them. So we're taking that same viewpoint of here's get yourself a coach. We'll be part of that if you want us to. Eventually, we're going to do this live, and I'll actually be live on Zoom for free helping people. But from there, we go to habits, because you change your habit, right? You change your life. And it's life transformation. And it's beginning of the year, everybody wants to take those New Year's resolutions. I'm going to change this. I'm going to change that. Do this about myself. But really, once you learn how to develop habits, how to think properly through those things, then life transformation really happens. And it isn't just, I need this good habit. It's how to identify the bad things. Things like self-defeating and arguments and thoughts that you have, limiting beliefs about yourself. If you say, I want to change, but you have a limiting belief about yourself, like, I can't change, I've tried this before, God won't do this for me, then you're not. It's just not going to happen. I don't care how much effort you put into it, you're already cutting off the limb that you're sitting on. And so part of what we're doing is you've got to stop this, have a Christian mindset that you've got the God of heaven behind you who can help you do this, and he's for you, not against you. And once you begin to realize, hey, you can make these changes, then that's the habit revolution, right?
So let's talk about this tool, the way you get access to the digital ebook called it's called Habit Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
You dial 505, or no, you don't dial, you text habits to 505-207-4407 for a digital ebook, or you can go to crosschristianfellowship.org /resources/ the Habit Revolution and get access to it and the link there. Again, you can also go to YouTube and go ahead and put in Navigating Life from the Cross, mm-hmm. and that'll take you to a whole bunch of YouTube videos. So there's a lot of resources. I liked what you said in the second segment, that these are accelerating transformation in your life.
Right.
And that's a daily thing, not a once-a-week thing. What's confusing to me about Americans is, I don't care if you were a musician, I don't care if you were an athlete, or you were on the speech team or debate team, you're in the habit of being in fellowship with other students, and you are in the habit of having a coach or a mentor. So why is the concept of doing that in church any different? I'm confused by that.
Yeah, we've moved away from that, right? Because we've unfortunately become more and more of a spectator sport. I come, I church shop, what do you have for my kids? What do you have? It's almost like you're going to a country club or whatever. And if you're offering enough, then I'll come pay my dues, and then you do the work. The professionals do the work. And we've got to change that and equip people to do the work. And the more people who can mentor and help and will pray and care for people, the more you'll see an explosion of life transformation and evangelism and miracles and things going on in people's life, right?
Okay, so, but Scott, I want to ask you if maybe a person like Charles,
mm-hmm.
or me, are we less confident that God can work miracles through our lives?
Most people are, but I'll tell you what, here's Charles. He's like, here, I've been a police officer serving people, right? He's got that servant's heart. And God's taking that same gifting, and what does he want? What the first thing he tells me is, I want to go help pastors who are burning out. They need a week off, and I want to go teach for them. And haven't you already had experience with that, Charles?
Yeah, that's my current, what I feel my current calling is. I don't want to say current isn't that it's going to change, but when I first started Shepherd's School, I felt that calling to go to small churches and small towns. I'm willing to travel anywhere in New Mexico. And after I spoke with Scott about that, I've had a couple assignments already. Both times had been on some Native American tribal reservations where they were very small churches. I think one was 10 people, another might have been 20 people, but I don't mind. We've learned in school, it's not about the numbers. We've learned discipling can be as low as one person. And that has been my current, is to give those pastors a break. Sometimes they're not like the mega churches, nothing wrong with mega churches, but they don't have those resources where a mega church like here at Calvary, Skip has lots of assistants and he has lots of other big name, we'll say celebrity pastors who are brilliant Bible teachers just like him. But these small ones don't have that. And I'm called to give those guys a break. And just in my rookie year, because I'm still in school and because I've only done a couple, I've had some ups and downs in that already. I had to go to Scott last week and tell him one of my second assignment, I said, was I felt a bomb. I felt I prepared for it. And then I go up there and things on my outline just didn't look right. And even though I don't feel I was afraid to speak in public, he gave me a couple of teaching points of maybe how I had it formatted and I wasn't recognizing because I was formatted a different way. So the calling, we're called to go do different assignments. And I'm learning now how to read those. It is almost remind me of when a girl used to be interested in you before you date. Are you picking up on those signs when she's flirting? When we're looking at the Lord, sometimes I have to pick up on that signs when he's saying what you're supposed to do, where he's going to go send you, how you need to serve. And many years when I lived in the flesh, I didn't notice the signs at all. And now as you tune in with him better, he actually can pick up some of the signs more where he is when he's speaking to you. People used to say, oh, the Lord spoke to me and he told me, and I really didn't know what they meant because pretty rare it's a real audible thing nowadays. But I'm getting a little better at tuning into that now.
What are you surprised at that you've learned that makes you think back and go, no, I never expected this as part of your training and your discipleship in the Shepherd School?
Well, just real recently, we've had some lectures on the importance of the Holy Spirit, the supernatural power, and I've learned not to rely on my own knowledge. I could always used to think many years ago when I was even a teen, I thought it looked pretty fun to try to debate a Jehovah Witness. I was going to say holy because I used to maybe try to debate some of the Word of Faith prosperity guys too. And I used to want to do that as a challenge with my own knowledge. And I probably didn't have much of that anyways at that time. But now there's been some things we've learned about letting the Spirit work in you. And that's how you're going to get that message across rather than it's not on our own. We don't do it of our own might and our own power. So that's something that's really been, I think, something new to me is some of the importance of the Holy Spirit rather than just I can't say everything else was things I knew, but I really like where they have focused on apologetics. But the newest thing is focusing not on my own mind.
Pastor Scott, Colossians says, let our speech always be with grace.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean sugarcoat it, does it?
No, that's not true grace, right? True grace means that you bring out the truth, and it may be seasoned with salt, right? So to make somebody thirsty and make it attractive to them, but it doesn't mean that you, compromise what the truth is. That is actually ungraceful and unloving, so you have to do that. And I just want to bring up with Charles that the real key of discipleship there is what real discipleship is, right? The transformation. So he went out, shared, got a little bit confounded one time, a little bit when he was teaching, but was able to come back and say, well, what happened here? What could I do? Then discipleship happens, right? Because that's where it really is key to where you can refine that person. See, this is what Jesus would do all the time. He would teach, and they would hear him teach multiple times. But then when they would teach, they would come back, and he would debrief them. What are you guys doing? Oh, we did this and so many miracles. And he goes, sit down, guys. You need to rejoice that your names are written in heaven and not that devils are subject to you.
Yeah.
Right there, that's discipleship, because he's like, don't get off on this power thing that I've given you.
You and I in the past have talked about discipleship also in light of what people know and think about in terms of physical exercise. Mm-hmm. None of us has a question about how to stay in shape. Now, that doesn't mean we all stay in shape.
Right.
But very few of us have any doubts about what it takes to actually be in good physical shape. Why is it then so difficult to understand how you stay in spiritual shape?
We just not developed a habit of that. We just not developed that. It's not, we need a CrossFit for Christianity.
But that's daily. It's fellowship with others. It's exercising in our own spirit. It's devotion with your partner. I mean, it's just a lot.
It is. And that's really kind of what I put these guys through. They go through intensive training. I mean, it sounds real simple, but for 2 years, they don't stop getting 2 to 3 to 4 audio files, studies a week that they have to interact with and then give me a verbal report on every week. And then I teach them twice on Thursdays themselves, right? So they get it at an extremely high level, and we see the reciprocating product of that, of lives that get amazing results in transformation. And so they, even before they're finishing, the first year, they're starting to get used in ministry, their marriages are turning around, these kind of things, because it just works, right? So again, that's what we're trying to do with Navigating Life. We're trying to, here's the idea, okay, Jim, is I'm not just teaching people to have their life changed. As I teach them, I'm going to recruit these people, and they're going to be leading the next habit revolution for the next 30 people that come in, right? And then I'm going to move on and say, here's how you deal and save marriages. And then after I get that worked out, I'm going to start recruiting and training those people that they're going to take that over, right? And so apologetics and these, so the same thing. And so we can start doing even chapters in certain cities and that kind of thing. But the key is you've got to release the ministry.
I love it.
And most pastors want to do that.
But that's also called pushing people out of the nest, right?
It is, and a lot of people don't want that.
They don't want to fly, right?
They don't want to fly. But once you start flying, it's glorious.
I love it. Pastor Scott Tom and Charles Chavis are in studio with us. We're talking about discipleship. Pastor Scott is the senior pastor of Cross Christian Fellowship. They're located at 6721 Edith Boulevard, Suite B. That is a little bit north of Osuna and Edith on the west side of the street. And you can find it. When are your services?
Service is 10 o'clock on Sunday. Wednesday at 7, I do discipleship.
And we need to talk about this whole thing, and you may already have a church as you're listening today, but try to make your Christian experience a daily thing, and to be involved in various discipleship tools, fellowship with other people, because that's how God refines you and encourages you. And by the way, if you're an island, and I'm so blessed, if you're listening right now and you're by yourself, I'm blessed that you're listening. I think we are all three of us here saying, thank you for listening, but please don't continue to isolate yourself. We're not made to be by ourselves. We're made to be together, and there's a way that we can get fellowship for you, even if you have a situation where you're locked in your home. I know this is true with a lot of seniors and other kinds of situations, so we appreciate you listening. We're going to have one more very short segment, because I kind of went a little long in this segment. We'll be back on ABQ Connect. I hope you'll stay with us. Hey, we are back on ABQ Connect. Thank you, Tayshawn, for engineering. I'm used to a certain kind of intro music, and I'm sorry I was late getting us back here on the air. We appreciate you listening. Scott Tom is the senior pastor of Cross Christian Fellowship in Albuquerque, and we're talking about discipleship, specifically the Shepherd School. Pastor Scott came on a year ago, said, I'm getting ready to put on a Shepherd School. A few days later, I talked to Charles Chavis, who's part of our security team at Calvary Church, and he says, man, I heard Scott talking about that again, and I've heard about a Shepherd School from other people, actually Calvary Church staff. Pastor Scott, you have people that have been through the Shepherd School that are pastoring in many different churches and serving in many churches, not just in Albuquerque, but other places around the country.
I lost count after about 30 pastors that were pastoring. One of the pastors from Calvary Rio Rancho just went up to Farmington.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And he's a senior pastor up there in Farmington from our church. And so we're launching churches. These guys, it slowly accumulates. These guys go out, and I didn't even know they're pastoring it many times. But and I think we're going to probably get somewhere between 30 and 70 churches in the next 3 years in Kenya itself.
That
and
is
I
really cool.
I think we'll probably end up getting 10 more in Uganda.
Is it possible for you in a couple of minutes to kind of give us an outline of the steps that are really necessary to go through a discipleship program?
Well, the steps of discipleship is, it depends. If you're looking from somebody who's discipling or somebody who wants to be discipled, the major steps are, one is acquiescing to, I'm here to learn, and I will be open to having my regular thought pattern and assumptions challenged.
Hmm.
Because if you don't do that, you're not going to learn.
That's not easy with a former police officer, is it?
No, but I teach them from the beginning. I teach them from the beginning, which disarms them a little bit. Always take the best and chuck the rest, right? And so I just tell them everything they're getting is the best. Okay. So they don't, yeah, he's laughing now because he knows I'm kidding. But if you're not willing to have those, see, I'll have guys who have pet doctrines and other things. And if they're holding on to that and they're going to critique everything through that lens, they're not going to grow very much.
I'm still waiting to learn when we are taught how to knock people backwards, but maybe that's in a future semester.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, gosh.
Yeah, no, not coming up in a future semester, but so it's that first part is just that openness, right? And from somebody who wants to be discipled, then the next thing is the stick-to-itiveness. You just got to stick to it because discipling is like anything else. You don't learn the piano after three lessons, right? Basketball, you go, you're in peewees, you're in, you know, AYBL, you're in going to El Dorado in this case, right?
Yep.
All the way to UNM, and you go on and on. But there's always a coach, and you're still going back over fundamentals. You're still learning how to shoot the foul shot. You're still learning how to do a court full court press. You're still learning all these things, even though I learned that in peewees. You're still coming back to doing these same things as well as going on to the next level.
But you're teaching people how to have a well-rounded game, to use a sports analogy. Mm-hmm. You don't want just a three-point shooter. Because in ministry, that's not going to work. You need people that are gifted to teach. You need people that love people maybe first before anything. And I will tell you, I'm guilty. Sometimes Christians really frustrate me.
They can be. And one of the things about the Shepherd School, even though it's called Shepherd School, not everybody in there is going to be in ministry, right? But they are a shepherd to their family. Mm-hmm. But what happens is they come in and most of them end up doing something in a church because after you get such a well-rounded education with character, it can't help but flow out of you, right? It just starts flowing out of you. Like I tell these guys, and Charles knows this, so he went, you know, through the academy at the police department. Some of that stuff was not that applicable when you get on the street, but a lot of it does, and they teach them, rely on your training, right? And so it's the same thing he's doing. He's getting all this apologetics, all these other things when he gets out there, and then all of a sudden you're in a position where you're not 100% sure what to do, but the training will kick in. It will kick in. Guys start going, I can defend that. I know how to answer that. I know, and it just starts flowing, right? And so once you practice, once you assimilate this, right, it starts going, and just like in your background, you can pretty much shoot some of these shots, right, from certain areas, almost with your eyes closed.
Right? Well, I wish that shooting were one of those gifts that I had. Unfortunately, that was not. I could defend most, but Pastor Scott, Charles, I'm so blessed that you guys are here. We're out of time, and I think it's amazing. Go to YouTube and look up Navigating Life from the Cross, and that'll take you right to a free discipleship information. Scott Tom, Charles Chavis, Merry Christmas, and thank you guys for joining us.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas.
ABQ Connect is a production.